Why doesn't God stop bad things from happening to good people? Why doesn't He step in and save the day? The answer may surprise you. Today on Living on the Edge, we'll discover why God not only allows, but sometimes orchestrates events in our lives that take our toughest situations and makes them impossible.
Thanks for joining us for this Tuesday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Druey. And today Chip continues his series called Authentic, How to Be a Christian Without Being Religious. Now, if you missed our last broadcast, let me encourage you to hear it online at livingontheedge.org. It'll provide a lot of context for what you'll hear today. And while you're there, maybe download Chip's message notes for this entire series. The notes are free and provide you with a great study tool while you listen. Again, our web address is livingontheedge.org. Just click Listen Now. If you have a Bible, open it to John chapter 11, and let's join Chip for part two of his message, Trusting God When It Doesn't Make Sense.
Martha's first question when she sees Jesus, if you would have come, Lord. Translation, why didn't you fix my problem? Mary's first question, Lord, if you would have been here on my time schedule, on my agenda, you could have fixed my problem, but you didn't. Now we've got the Jews, and what are they saying? Now, wait a second. Yeah, it seems like he really loves her now, but my lands, if he really cared, he would have got here earlier and taken care of this problem. Does everyone here now understand the dynamics of what's occurring in this passage? People whom Jesus loved and people who love Jesus deeply have a big problem, and they bring the problem to Jesus. And Jesus doesn't make it better. He doesn't even make it worse. He lets it go from bad to impossible. Why? Why does he do that? Why did he do it here? And why does he do it in our life? And I'd suggest that the key is going to be found in a very interesting word. And before we see the end of the story, which you know, I want you to begin in your mind to be thinking about what he said to the disciples. Why was he glad? Why was he glad the disciples weren't there? So that they may, what? So they may believe. Well, what do you mean believe? They already follow him, right? I'm glad I wasn't there, so you believe. When he responded to Martha, he said, Martha, if anyone does what in me, he'll never see death. If you believe. He's given us clues. Let's turn the page and let's find out what happens. Jesus solves the problem. And I want to suggest that the better gift that he gave to Martha and Mary and the one he wants to give you, I don't want to miss it, is this. So often, we want God to solve the big problems in our life. And what God is saying is, I want to give you a better gift. And that problem, when it won't go away, when it goes from being hard and difficult to worse to impossible, there's a lot of you, like the guy talking, who you never get desperate and you never seek me and you never weep and you never get afraid and you never cry out to me and say, I am all you really want until it goes from bad to impossible. And you've gotten so used to me fixing things because I do, because I love you, and taking care of things and answering prayers and doing this and doing that, you have suddenly fallen into thinking that I am here to fix your life, to make it work out your way for you. And that is too small and too limited, and that's not what I'm about. I don't want to fix your problems. I want you to know me as a person. I want to revolutionize your life. I don't want you to know some facts about resurrection. I want you to look into my eyes and see the face of the living resurrection. I want to be with you. I want me and you to have intimate relationship. I want you to understand it's not me plus a good marriage is life. It's not me plus kids that are life. It's not me when I get a mate someday, it's life. It's not me plus a good job is life. It's not me plus when your body works right is life. I am all you need. I am the resurrection and the life, and I will orchestrate circumstances in your life, and I will purposely put you in impossible situations to get you to the point where you come to me with a level of desperation, where what you really need is me instead of just what I can do for you. Does it make sense? It's what he did for them. Now, it's only until, this is a theory, but the theory is, it's hard to resurrect people until they die. You just think that over deeply. It's very hard to resurrect people until they die. Until it's impossible, you can get bailed out and you can get helped. But when it is, impossible, not a day dead, not 2 days dead, not 3 days dead, 4 days dead. And by the way, after the second day, he's about as dead as he's going to be. Some of you are saying, if God would just wait 4 days, you know, I could take a four-day delay. Well, he might have a four-month delay with you. He might have a four-year delay with you. I don't know. But what I know is he loves you. And what I know is he will allow some things to go from bad to impossible until you die to yourself, until you die to your agenda, until you and I die to our demands, until we get where if we could just be with Jesus and if he would look us in the eye and if his spirit through his word and through his family would speak life into our soul that would say he's the resurrection and he is life, he will take you through some times like that. And then after you die, he will do what can only happen when you die. Now, by the way, the process of dying spiritually is painful, just like the process of dying physically is painful. But until you die, you never experience resurrection. And Jesus does a miraculous thing because he allows Lazarus' situation to go from bad to impossible. We pick it up. Jesus, once more deeply moved, verse 38, came to the tomb. And it was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, always the practical one. The sister of the dead man, by this time there's a bad odor. He's been there 4 days. And then Jesus said, did I not tell you? What's our word? If you believed, you would see the glory of God. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe. Are you getting a message? Are you beginning to understand that the organ through which life with God through Christ is experienced is faith? And God will take your bad situations and make them impossible so that you learn to believe. That's what he's up to in your life. That's what he's up to in my life. He's up to that more than fixing the problem. And so here he does it. So they took away the stone and Jesus prayed the prayer. When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Whew. Isn't that just a little bit better than Jesus saying, you know what, we're on this ministry trip. Excuse me, guys, I got a close friend. It's back in Bethany. You know, why don't you hold my place right here? In fact, Pete, you know, you're doing pretty good at the preaching. You do a couple sermons. John, why don't you pray? Thomas, watch him. You're going to need help later, okay? I'm going to go back. Lazarus, Martha, Mary, good to see you, everybody. Lazarus, feeling kind of bad. Oh, unconscious, okay. Lord, Father, heal him. Thank you. He's better. Okay, see you a little bit later. That would have had a significant impact in Mary and Martha and Lazarus' life, wouldn't it? Would it have this impact? It would have been a loving act, but because he didn't do the good thing and didn't fix the problem, instead he waited to do something. He made the impossible possible in people's personal experience where others could see it. And guess who they really got to see? They got to see who Jesus was. And that's the goal. By the way, that's what faith is all about. Faith isn't about trying harder and mustering up emotions. Faith is seeing Jesus for who he is to the point that whatever he says, you do because of who he is. And by the way, it's faith in his word. Did you notice he didn't say, open the tomb, and did he go in and touch him? How did he resurrect Lazarus? This is not a trick question. He spoke. What's behind this? How did the world come into existence? Hebrews 11. He spoke the world into existence. You have the very word of God. God breathed. It is life into your soul. Faith is that you may believe. And when he says do relationships this way, that you might believe. When he says prioritize your money, that you may believe. When he says this is how to handle your sexual life, that you may believe that it might be well with you. Even when the culture is going this way, even when the stock market's going down, that you may believe. And it is that step of action that demonstrates you believe. And so sometimes, to teach you that he does miracles and that he loves you, he won't fix your problem and he won't fix mine. He'll let it get impossible. Now, by the way, as it gets impossible, some people don't go back. They get mad. They turn inward. They can't stand the pain. They go in denial. They start smoking stuff and drinking stuff and eating stuff and watching stuff and turning stuff on. And then they get busy and it's impossible and they get disillusioned. And they don't cry. They're not like Martha and Mary. They don't weep and cry out. See, a lot of people, when there's a difficult situation, they say, I'm afraid. You want to go back there, Jesus? I'm not going. Because Christians everywhere, God says, I'm going here. You come with me. I want you to come that you might believe. I'm going to take you to a place that is scary. I'm going to scare the daylights out of you. But there's 12 hours in the day, aren't there? And when you walk in the physical daylight of light, you don't stumble. But if you try and walk in the night, you fall and get hurt. As long as you're with me, you're in the light. When I call you to walk by faith and to follow me, and you say, I'm afraid and won't go there, you are in darkness. It is safer with me that you might believe. What happens when we believe? The epilogue, verse 45 to 48. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. Are we getting an idea of what this whole thing was about? Now notice, this is classic. Notice what happens. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Wouldn't you like to be a kind of a fly on the wall and hear that conversation? You'll never believe what he's doing now. You'll never believe what he's doing now. Mr. Jesus, the bad guy who's taken away all of our power and all the people. You know what he did? You know what he did? You know, hey, you think that feeding the 5,000, the 4,000? Oh, it's getting worse. It's getting worse. And you know that one lady he healed with the issue of blood? Well, you know, that got a lot of press. You know, Lazarus? 4 days dead. He's back. Is that unbelievable? How do you respond when God does the supernatural? Do you come up with one more reason why not to follow him with your life, your heart, your relationships, your future? Or do you put your faith in him? There may be some here tonight who just, you know what, God brought you, came with a friend, whatever reason. You've never placed your faith in Christ. You don't know him personally. You're in your sins. You have violated a holy God like all the rest of us here. Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin, and he loves you, and he brought you here tonight to tell you, if you'll repent, that means have a change of mind, turn around, and if you'll come to Jesus and say, I need you, I'm sorry, forgive me of my sin, I believe when you died on the cross, you paid for my sin and rose from the dead. I turn from my sin, I want to be your son, I want to be your daughter. Come into my life, I put my faith in you and your work and resurrection, and he'll save you. And he brought you here tonight so that in the chair that you're sitting in, you can bow your head and call out to the God of the universe. And his promise is that he's the resurrection and the life. And if you believe in him, you'll never die. If you don't believe in him, you are judged already because you have rejected the grace of God. And you'll die in your sins. We all get exactly what we deserve unless we cry to God and ask him for mercy and grace freely available. And we make up reasons why. Did you ever wonder why people don't believe? The text will tell us. When they went to the chief priests and the Pharisees, verse 47, they called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. What are we accomplishing, they ask. What do you mean? What are we accomplishing? How do we get rid of this guy? Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, we could have a big problem, right? Everyone will what? Believe in him. Why are they saying this? The evidence is overwhelming. The evidence is so overwhelming, they realize everyone will believe in him, but they won't. Why don't people believe? Why don't people come to Christ, number one, and those who are already Christians, the majority in this room, why won't you believe God? Why won't you believe him? The answer is in the next verse. You want to know what it is? Very, very simple. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe him, and then the Romans will come and take both our place and our nation. Our place is position. Our nation is power. To believe in Jesus, you have to give up your position and step off the throne of your life and give Jesus the throne, and you bow the knee and you surrender and you say, from now on, your word breathed that created the world will be my guide. And if you say it, I believe it to the point of acting on it. If it says be sexually pure, I'll be sexually pure. If it says only put good things in my mind, things that are wonderful, beautiful, and praiseworthy, that's what I'm going to do. If it says give the first portion of my money because it all belongs to you, I will do that. If it says that you long for my heart, then I will spend each day in your word and talk to you. If it says that I need to tell the truth, even if I lose the sale, I'm going to tell the truth. And the reason we don't do it is we lose our position and our place. And you know what those two things have to do? It's called pride. It's called ego. It's called we want to be little gods who run our world. And you can't have faith and pride. You can have one. You can have your position and your place, or he can have his position and his place and yours under him. And we have a generation of American Christians who think because they intellectually believe in God, and because they've prayed a prayer, and they come to church now and then, but their lives don't match up. Because why? They don't want their place and their position. And we receive unbelievable consequences of a life that is in passive rebellion. And so you know what he'll do in your life when you're like that? He'll take your hard situation, and he'll make it impossible. And you'll come to the point where in that hard situation, you'll either turn away, or it'll get so impossible, you'll start to cry. And I don't mean theoretically cry. I mean cry. I mean weep. I mean, oh God, save me. Help me. I can't make it. I can't make it another day. And as you cry out, he will have compassion on you. And he'll do things in you first, and then he'll do things through you that you never imagined. And he'll resurrect you. Because you end up dead. You'll get to where you think, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I can't work this out. I can't make this work. And he'll meet you. The conclusion is sometimes God lets our problems go from bad to impossible so that we might believe. My question, are you ready for this? Do you believe? Do you really believe? Do you believe in Jesus? I don't mean just as your Savior. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus to the point that what he says you will do? What are the two things that we learn? He wants us to believe. He wants us to learn to trust first the depth of his compassion. If things wouldn't have got impossible, guess what? We would have never seen Jesus weep. We would have never seen him emote at a level that we see nowhere else in all of Scripture. Until your situation gets impossible and you cry out and you weep and you fall at his feet, both figuratively and literally, you will never experience the great compassion of God. He loves you. He will weep over your problem when you come desperate. He'll never turn you away. His timing won't be your timing. It may not happen the way you want it to happen. He may not answer at all in the way you want him to. It's so that you might believe. And part of what he wants you to believe is that he loves you and that he's for you and that he wants to meet you. The second thing he wants you to believe is in the extent of his power available to you. When things are dead, he can make them alive. He can make relationships alive again. He can make people alive again. He can make organizations alive again. He can take any situation, emotional, spiritual, or physical, and when it gets to the point where it's completely impossible, he has the power to make it alive. He wants us to believe that. believing it to the point of acting on it.
Chip will be right back with some additional thoughts about today's teaching. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. His message today, Trusting God When It Doesn't Make Sense, is from his series, Authentic, How to Be a Christian Without Being Religious. Being a Christian who lives like a Christian, one person, one family, one church, one community at a time, is how you can make an authentic difference in your world. This powerful series is available in a couple of audio formats, and for a limited time, the MP3s are absolutely free. Why not get a set for yourself? Or send them to a friend who could benefit from a fresh perspective on how to live the Christian life without getting caught up in all kinds of religious activity. For complete pricing and ordering information, go to livingontheedge.org, or we'd be happy to have you call us at 1-888-333-6003. Well, Chip, I know you've got a great application for today's message, but before you talk about that, I know for many people, this message really hit home. They're going through a season of difficulty or maybe crisis that just doesn't make sense, and they're really struggling. So for someone who's in that place and is looking for some serious answers, how can we help them?
Well, Dave, I have one series that grew out of one of the most difficult times, not only in my life, but in the life of the church I was pastoring at the time. Literally, it seems like everyone I knew had cancer or was going through tragedy or a drunk driver had killed a teenager. I mean, it was horrendous. And out of that grew a series of Finding God When You Need Him the Most. Mm-hmm. And I literally keep two of those books in my car at all times. You know, I play a lot of pickup basketball, or I meet someone in a restaurant and I say, wait right here. You know, a waitress talks about her husband walked out on her, or there's been a horrendous situation. And then when I travel, I normally put one of those books in my briefcase because it talks about finding God in the midst of a crisis, finding God when you're paralyzed by fear, finding God when you feel like a nobody going nowhere, finding God when you're depressed, finding God when you've blown it big time and you're overwhelmed with guilt. And these are the core psalms, but they're more than just a psalm of truth. They're how do you experience God in those times? And I would just encourage people, if you know someone going through a time like that, or maybe it's you, I would encourage you to either get the book or the MP3s right now or CDs, whatever helps you. But these are deeply powerful messages from people that have been where you've been and can help you allow God to touch you and speak to you and comfort you and encourage you in just the lowest, most vulnerable times in your life.
Well, thanks, Chip. If you or someone you know is going through a difficult time right now, Chip's series, Finding God When You Need Him Most, would be a very helpful resource. And this series is on CD, MP3, and in book form, and all of them are available now at Living on the Edge. To learn more about this series, Finding God When You Need Him Most, visit us online at livingontheedge.org or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, now with a final application for today's message, here's Chip.
As you listen to today's message, let me ask you a very important question. How about you? Where is your life going from bad to impossible? Is it a relationship that's dead? A career that's been hijacked? A health problem that shattered your dreams? Where's your life going from bad to impossible? And maybe you're not quite there yet, but it's heading in that direction. Or you see signs and, like me, you realize, okay, it's gone in the wrong direction. I'm going to outsmart life. I'm going to outmaneuver God. I'm going to stay in control. Well, I want you to know that's a losing proposition. If life is hard right now, I want you to know and I want you to remember that God has one big agenda. And that agenda is that you trust Him and that you would believe. He may continue to ratchet up the situation until it becomes impossible. But here's the thing. He won't make you believe. That's up to you. If you choose to push Him away, if you choose to substitute things or people, if you choose to try and figure out how to get out of it or whine or complain, I want you to know that the velvet vice of His love may keep moving in until life gets impossible. But I want to remind you, it's because He loves you. He wanted to give Mary and Martha a better gift. He didn't want their life simply to work out to meet their present immediate needs, to make them just a little bit happier, to have their dreams fulfilled. He wanted to give them something beyond their wildest dreams, Himself. That's God's agenda for you. It's God's agenda for me, and I want to share with you afresh, because it's been a while since I taught this message. Dying is painful. I mean, when you let go of, when things that you thought would fulfill you, when people let you down, when it's impossible and you're bankrupt and you're at the end of yourself, it's painful. But as you say to God, I don't understand, I don't get it, I choose to believe that you are good, when you die, then you experience a resurrection. He has a great plan for you. Cooperate with Him. Trust Him. Don't bail out. He will never leave you or forsake you.
As we wrap up today's program, I want to say thank you to those who make this broadcast possible through your generous financial support. Your gifts help us create programs, purchase airtime, and develop additional resources to help Christians live like Christians. If you've been blessed by the ministry of Living on the Edge, would you consider sending a gift today? You can call us at 1-888-333-6003, or if you prefer, donate online at livingontheedge.org. Well, tomorrow Chip continues his current series, so I hope you'll be with us for that. For all of us here, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.